Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Parting words, farewell addresses, deathbed statements of great men, they live long after they have gone. Such words have great meaning because of the greatness of the one who spoke them. History records many soul-stirring and thrilling final remarks uttered by great men and kings and presidents and men of renown for one reason or another. How well many possibly can remember the words of General Douglas MacArthur before Congress, after he concluded 52 years of military service for his country. Both friend and foe alike consider his speech a masterpiece. The greatest remarks were those, of course, of the Lord Jesus, as he was about to ascend into heaven. His remarks included the Great Commission, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. And in the Bible, we have the farewell words of men like Moses and Samuel and some of the others. In this lesson, we want to consider six major points that were made by Joshua in his farewell address before the nation that he had led for so many years. Truly, Joshua was one of Israel's greatest men. He had been loyal to Israel as a spy, a mighty warrior, a faithful servant of Moses and the successor to Moses. He was the conqueror of the land of Canaan and the administrator of the division of the land to the tribes, a man whose life was characterized by faith and courage and determination and steadfastness, and certainly a long association with God. His final words are found in Joshua chapter 23 and chapter 24, and we want to study from the 24th chapter. The chapter begins with Joshua recounting Israel's history from the time of Terah, that's the father of Abraham, until his own time. He reminds Israel of some principles, how God had dealt with men, and what God expected in return. His words are as useful to us as to Israel of long ago, because even though they were a long time ago, these principles have not changed. And even though we serve under a different system, we serve the same God. And the principles of God's dealings with mankind have not changed, even though the specific ordinances that we are to obey have changed, and the laws under which we serve have changed. But characteristics of God not having changed, this is what makes Joshua's six primary points in his speech so relevant to us today. Joshua told how God keeps his promises. He said, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof." Joshua 24 and verse 14. Earlier we could read in Joshua 21, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Now that the Lord keeps his promises is echoed in the New Testament. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Hebrews 6:13-15. Again from Hebrews, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." From Hebrews 11 and verse 11, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Yes, the Lord had made great and precious promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and Joshua takes note of the fact that God had kept those promises. And the Lord has made great and precious promises to the Christian also, such as forgiveness of sins, and protection and providence, fellowship, and eventually heaven. how God always keeps his promises. Joshua noted how the Lord gives evidence of his power. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. Joshua 23 and verse 3. He calls Israel to witness of the manifestations of the power of God. It seems with many it is easier to accept what can be seen than that which cannot be seen. People more readily accept the physical than they do the spiritual. That which cannot be seen is accepted by faith. Now, not a blind and gullible faith, but a faith based upon evidence, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. The Lord is called invisible in Colossians 1 and verse 15 and 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17, and that's because God is spirit, John 4, 24. He is not like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device, Acts 17, 29. Even so, God has revealed himself to man by the presentation of evidence of his presence and reality, so we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Paul wrote, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse," Romans 1 and verse 20. Psalm 19:1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." Dear friend, God has not failed us in providing sufficient evidence of his existence and his power. And as we observe nature, we know there is a God. As we study the biblical history of Israel, the prophecies and the fulfillment of them, the influence of Christianity, the indestructibility of the Bible, all these things show the existence and the power of God. In every age, these things testify of him. Joshua points out in his farewell address to his people, God's power. But Joshua also said the Lord fights for his people. In Joshua 23 and verse 3, "For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." He reminded Israel of their victories over Egypt and their deliverance from bondage. He could have mentioned their trials in the wilderness on their way to Canaan, the taking of Jericho, when Gideon won the victories over the Midianites and David defeated Goliath. Regarding the nation that had a part in humbling Judah, Zechariah said, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle." Zechariah 14 and verse 3. Nehemiah told his followers as they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, "Our God shall fight for us." Nehemiah 4 and verse 20. God has always been mindful of the battles his children must fight. "He is not far from every one of us," Paul said, Acts 17, 7. "He is our shepherd that provides for us even in the presence of our enemies. Even in death, we are to have no fear because he's promised to be with us," the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me," Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Friend, when you fight for what is right, the Lord fights with you. The Lord fights for you, just he has always done for those who love him. This is what Joshua reminded Israel. He reminded Israel that God keeps his promises. He reminded Israel of God's power. He reminded Israel how God fights for his people. And furthermore, the Lord does expect man to obey his will. "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left," Joshua 23 and verse 6. Strict obedience is one of the superior themes of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And even though we're not under the law of Moses, friend, we are under the law of Jesus Christ. Being under grace in no way dismisses the necessity that we obey the law of Christ. Obedience has always been required by the Lord. It was required of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Abraham and Jacob and Moses, all the way down through the history of Israel, it is no less required of me and of you. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says of Christ that he became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. And as Samuel said to Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel 15:22. When confronted with threatenings if they continue to preach Christ, Peter and John responded, we must obey God rather than men. Acts 5:20. You see, friend, we are servants of what we obey. Romans 6:16-18. We are to be servants of righteousness. Our hearts are purified by obedience to the truth. 1 Peter 1:22. Joshua reminds his people that God keeps his promises, that God is a God of power, that God fights for his people, but that God expects obedience. And in the closing words of Joshua, he reminds Israel of sin and its consequences. He warned Israel that God has warned his people of the evil and the consequences of sin. Notice Joshua 23:7, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves down to them. Again he said, take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. God had warned them of sin and its consequences. Do you ever wonder why God warns man in such strong terms? It is because he's a loving, merciful, and kind God who wants man to avoid sin and the imposed destruction that he poses upon himself. He wishes to put man on guard and to keep him alert to the wiles of the devil. It is much the same reason a godly parent will warn his children of dangers and evil. It is for the child's welfare. Both the Old and the New Testament contain God's warnings. He warned Noah of the coming flood and how to be spared from it. And in Ezekiel 3, Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. We ought to be grateful that God cares enough to warn us. Paul described his work of preaching and teaching and warning every man that every man may be perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:28. Paul warned the elders and preachers and congregations, saints and sinners alike. He said, now we exhort you, brethren, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Acts 20:31. To the Corinthians he said, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Joshua reminded Israel and tells them that God is gracious to us in that he gives us warnings. And finally, the sixth major point of Joshua's speech that we mention, we learn from Joshua that God keeps his threats just as surely as he keeps his promises. In Joshua 23, therefore it shall come to pass, as all good things are come upon us which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off this good land which he hath given you. Oh yes, God is a God of reward, but God is also a God of recompense. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, Hebrews 10 and verse 30. We err to rely only on his promises, but ignore his warnings and his threats. One is as sure as the other. If he were otherwise, he would not be reliable nor just. We need to learn that hell is as real as heaven, and damnation as sure as salvation. As surely as the five wise virgins entered the marriage feast, the five foolish ones were excluded. As surely as the 5 and 2 talent men were commended and rewarded, the 1 talent man was condemned. As surely as those that fed the hungry and clothed the naked and visited the sick were welcomed, those that did not were disowned, Matthew 25. Friend, God keeps his threats. So in summary, the 6 points that Joshua made that are so relevant for us, God keeps his promises. God has given evidence of his existence and power. God fights for his people. God does expect man to obey him. God warns his people of evil and its consequences. God keeps his threats. My dear listening friend, history shows that Israel failed to give heed to the great truths that Joshua preached to them. But will we do any better? Will we profit from their error? And while we serve the same Jehovah God, will Joshua's address do any more for us than Israel allowed it to do for them? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.